Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Just a moment, we'll join Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. So, Sarah bought this package. What are these like, by best, I mean worse for you. It's these, like, chocolate-covered wafer things. And really, all they are, it's just a big pile of sugar between two sugary things pretending
so
to be
good.
Cookies. They really are fantastic. That's a second choice of purchase, though. It's simply because all of the chocolate Chex Mix is gone. And that's the only thing in the machine that's gone. Everything else is still there. And the chocolate Chex Mix is entirely gone because we've eaten all of it. So, there you go.
We shouldn't have said anything about it.
No, because then everything's a bunch of jackals. A bunch of thieves, they all just descended on it. I am going to say this, and then we'll do the Ministry of Truth here, is that we were talking about the ways that you know, I guess a way, is we only got the one, which is bad to the bone. Being in a film trailer tells you right away that it's bad. So it was not only bad to the bone in the trailer for this terrible new Tim Allen film. It's a bunch of guys. Tell me if this sounds familiar. It's three guys who are friends from disparate backgrounds who are facing various midlife crises and traumas in their existences, their day-to-day lives. And so they are attempting to regain their sense of self and manhood by going on a cross-country journey using an unusual form of transportation. Does that sound like anything you've seen before?
Yes.
What does it sound like?
Well, to me, the first thing I thought, which isn't the same at all, and probably way off, is City Slickers.
It's exactly City Slickers.
Okay.
It's City Slickers. Except it's not. Except they're riding Harleys. They're not riding.
So sad.
They're not. It's the worst film. I don't even need to see it to know it's the worst film. That's the thing. That's the deal with trailers.
Who they'll
like
encounter
this.
Along the way, the journey of their lives.
God, I don't even have the description of it in front of me. But it's Ray Liotta, Tim Allen. And, actually, it's Tim Allen.
And Cedric the Entertainer.
No. You're so close. Because you know that's how they cast these films. It's the widest possible net. Now, I'm not saying, obviously, that a group of diverse people couldn't do this in real life. But the thing is, you see these casts in a movie sometime, and you can tell where they have just been put together by a focus group. They've been put together by a committee, where it's a way to capture every conceivable demographic in one film. So it's Tim Allen, John Travolta, William H. Macy. Ray Liotta's in it, too, is like a bad guy. But it's Tim Allen, John Travolta, William H. Macy, and Martin Lawrence. Who even knew that Martin Lawrence was still alive? When is the last movie Martin Lawrence was in that anybody saw?
He was in Nothing to Lose with, what's his name? Susan Sarandon's husband?
How sad that you know that. Tim Robbins?
That's like
20 years ago. That doesn't count.
I think it was like 10 years ago.
Was that where one of them kidnaps the other? Is it like Tim Robbins kidnaps Martin Lawrence in a car?
Yeah, like Martin Lawrence is trying to rob him, and then he doesn't let him, and he
can't. Did you pay to see that? Please
no.
Tell me it was free.
No,
okay.
I've seen it on CBS.
What is the last Martin Lawrence movie that anybody paid to see? That anybody said, I gotta go see that. I'm gonna throw me down some hard money and go see that.
I don't know.
Anyone? No, there's nothing. So there you go. Tim Allen, John Travolta, William H. Macy, Martin Lawrence. Four Suburban.
That seems like a really bloated pairing of people. Like John Travolta?
John Travolta, who looks more and more like, more and more every day.
How are those men all going to even act together?
he's got the most hideous, fleshy, square head.
And so does Ray Liotta now,
it's like
too.
A big cube of ham on top of a pair of shoulders. Ray Liotta still looks okay, actually. Ray Liotta looks okay, although as he ages, he does look more and more...
John Travolta.
Well... Okay, I wasn't going to say that, but I will say that sadly Tim Allen is aging the best out of all of them, and he's like a former cokehead, so that's unfortunate. Anyway, they play four suburban middle-aged pals who take a motorcycle trip to reinvigorate their lives. And it's just and in the trailer, there was Bad to the Bone, Highway to Hell.
No, there wasn't.
Highway to Hell, and I'm pretty sure there was Head Out to the Highway by Judas Priest. So it's, I mean, right there. That tells you what you know.
Did it have all four of them on motorcycles side by side as it pans out of them driving through the desert?
Yeah, and then it also has a scene where I think one of them, like, hooks up with, like, an exotic Mexican.
And then they find out that it's a man.
No, I don't think so. But I think it's that one of them, like, you know, clearly one of them who maybe has gone through, you know. And again, I don't know.
One of them's going through a bitter divorce.
I was just going to say, William H. Macy. This is like that thing we did with Rocky where we called that one scene, like, point for point, and then it happened. I'll guarantee you in this movie that, like, the William H. Macy character is probably going through a bad divorce or has gone through a bad divorce and, like, hasn't been laid in, like, a year or something. And then he meets, like a swarthy. He meets, like, I guess, can women be swarthy or is that just men? Whatever. He meets, like, some exotic, like, an exotic chica. Who reintroduces him to the passionate and fiery?
Are there any women?
No, of course not. No, it's all man. So it just sounds like the worst movie. And I'm sitting there watching it in the theater, just wishing I was dead. Just watching it, and just 3 minutes of my life that are being carved out of my soul with a rusty knife. So anyway, so there you go. So that's a movie you can avoid. That's a movie never to watch. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, here is Tim Riley.
From the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A missing kidney is back where it belongs. The organ was stolen late last year from the body, the exhibition display in downtown Seattle. The missing kidney has been found in Tacoma. Police got an anonymous tip and contacted the 26-year-old Tacoma man.
Where it was living in a seedy motel, shacked up with a bimbo.
Man was interviewed. The kidney was confiscated. The body part now is safe, poses no health hazards at all.
I don't know. Okay.
He stole it.
What are you going to do with a kidney? And how long can you keep it before it goes all mushy on you?
Well, he couldn't find any copper wire.
Fantastic.
The latest from Tacoma.
Okay.
Meanwhile, giant plastic testicles will no longer be allowed to dangle from the trailer hitches of trucks if a Maryland lawmaker has his way. Leroy Myers is pushing for a ban of the fake plastic genitalia and says the law is needed because they are vulgar. The Republican filed legislation that would stop motorists from displaying anything that resembles genitals. It would also forbid human rear ends and female breasts. He says it's no laughing matter. He adds some people are making a joke of it, but he considers it a pretty serious problem.
I was actually on the Ross Island. It's so funny that this story, we have our finger on the cultural pulse. I was actually on the Ross Island Bridge the other day, and I saw for the very first time what this guy's talking about. Have you seen this?
No.
This is,
No.
I saw this just the other day, and I have to say, it's pretty repellent. It's pretty disgusting. It was some big honking like SUV. It was, you know, and you know that guy has a huge penis, by the way. It's massive.
Who?
The guy who drives the massive SUV.
Oh, yeah, it's always enormous.
His member.
And self-esteem totally in check.
He hasn't at all lost every, like, half of his possessions in the divorce. He's trying to recapture his manhood. Buy that guy a slot on the Wild Hogs, the cross-country motorcycle trip. I'm on the Ross Island Bridge today, and some ass, some jackhole in a huge SUV passes me. And it's like, it's all disgusting. It's all huge, and it's got the big, fan, you know, the weird, like, really expensive rims and everything. It passes me, and then out of the corner of my eye, I catch this motion, and I look down, and sure enough, from the trailer hitch on the back of the SUV, it's like a big, there's no way to put this, this is a news story, we're speaking about these things clinically, it's a big fake scrotum. Like a big fake sack hanging from the back of his trailer hitch. Not like in the window, like one of those Garfield toys.
But like underneath the hitch?
Yeah. Like literally.
How big?
Like literally fake balls just dangling from the back of his SUV by the trailer hitch.
Like, are they just all solid plastic, or is there something inside of something that's a little...
I didn't go up. I did not go up and,
Well, do they stay in place, or do they swing around?
Do you mean on the back of the SUV?
Yes.
They were moving. I honestly don't know whether this conversation's inappropriate or not. But as he was driving, they were... And it just looks really gross. There's no way to put it. It just looks really gross. It's not like I don't care. Whatever. Whatever, friend. I mean, if you got some problem, and... Really, what problem could you have? What personality defect could you have that's cured by putting a bunch of plastic scrotums in the back of your vehicles? Really, how does that make your life better? I'd like to hear from somebody who has a plastic scrotum on the back of his truck, and I'd like to hear how that has made you a better person. And whether or not that really, like, whether that's getting you a lot of girls and self-esteem. Because I'm guessing the answer is no to both of those. Anyway, so I couldn't take my eyes off of it. It was, you know what it is? It was hypnotizing in a way. You know how like when they do that thing of like, look at the watch, and then they dangle the watch back and forth in front of your eyes, and then you go into a trance, and then they make you hop around like a kangaroo? It was like that, only not a watch. It was a scrotum.
Why has it taken so long for somebody to come up with this?
What?
Why has it taken so long for somebody to come up with this invention?
I don't know, but I was looking at those. And you just immediately have loathing for whoever it is. That's the thing. You know, we were talking just a second ago about trailers that you can, movie trailers where you like you can hate the movie without even seeing it because of things in the trailer. Mm-hmm. I don't want to turn this into a topic because it'd be one of those things that like the phones would just be this for the rest of the show. But there's things that you see in a car and you know that you can immediately dismiss whoever's inside of it as being useless. So when I see a big pair of plastic testicles in the back of a truck, I look and I go, well, there's someone I never need to care about. There's someone that
maybe there's someone that you do care about that has testicles on the back of their truck, and they just did it because they thought it was funny.
It's
not funny. It's really stupid, yes. But maybe they do.
You should put a big plastic vagina on the back of your car, Sarah.
Yeah. I'll get right on that.
That'll really impress everybody. That'll impress all the girls. They'll think you're really sophisticated then. God, men are just goddamn stupid, though. The thing about guys are just friggin' dumb. They're just retarded. They're just retarded beyond all words. Let's see. Darren, why? And then, of course, the phones are now full of guys calling about this. Darren, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Mr. Emerson, good afternoon.
Hi.
Those are actually called truck balls, and it's spelled with a Z.
Where did they get the name?
What?
Are they sold in sets?
Often, yes. But not triplicates. And there is a website that you can go to. And they come in various colors. Pinks, yellows, fleshy color, what have you.
Fleshy color.
I believe there's also chrome.
Okay.
And you also have probably not seen...
Why do you know this?
Well,
I own truckballs.com.
Do you own a pair of these?
No, I drive for a living, so I get to see various things hanging.
Lucky you.
Yeah, lucky me.
When you see a guy who's got a plastic scrotum on the back of his truck, do you immediately assume that that guy's pumped full of self-esteem?
Well, I do assume that he thinks he's more important than just about everyone else on the road.
Because he had $9 and some tape. He had a screwdriver and a credit card.
Pretty much.
All right. Excellent. All right. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
All right, there you go. All right. Oh, and you knew this was coming. Our good friend Dennis Pitzenbarger. Hello, sir.
Well, I just thought I'd shed some light on the clarification of where they came from, why they are, and why they are not cool even today.
Okay.
They come from the term when you used to say that the car has. Can I say B-A-L-L-S?
You know, you've just spelled it, so it's the same thing. But yes, okay.
Okay, well, you say, well, the car's got balls. You know, like he's got, you know, he's a ballsy character.
Right.
That's where that all came from. But it's no more, you know, that. So anyway, yeah, someone in the 80s with the, you know, the mini truck and the, you know, the bouncing of the bed and the large speakers decided to.
Well, you know
up.
What somebody should do is that, you know what they should do is, here's what would impress me. If it was actually like the Glengarry Glen Ross, literally like a set of those conking things, like literally brass balls, like actual brass balls, like Alec Baldwin has in Glengarry Glen Ross, like the kind that they have on that thing that executives have on their desk where it's the five and they bounce back and forth.
Sure.
Just like literally, when you just have something that looks like a big dangly skin thing in the back of your bumper, you just look like a weird, creepy pervert is what you look like.
Well, I mean, it just depends on how you look at it. I mean, they have been around for a long time. They were not, I mean, it was funny a couple times. It's kind of, you know, like it's like a fart joke. It was funny the first time you heard it when you were in third grade. Then it kind of lost its luster.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Now I'm going to have to take my little, you know, the doll arm out from underneath the grill of my big truck because that was the, you know, that'll be next on the what is not politically correct.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right.
There you go. Fantastic. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Now, way back when, I can remember these two balls that were called knockers. And they were a big thing, I believe, when I was in high school. And you take them and shake them and try to knock them together.
Okay. We go through stages of this. Well, yeah, this is exactly true. A guy is pointing this out. Let me see if I can open this email here. Let's see. Sky, it's made my brother's minivan look fantastic. Yeah, and it's always a guy like that, by the way. Let's see here. Yeah, this is somebody talking about the LeBra. Yeah, do you remember when...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, do you remember when cars had bras? Yeah. All right. Anyway, all right, here's Tim Riley.
A Florida appeals court has temporarily blocked the burial of Anna Nicole Smith. So she has to lie out there and rot for a little while.
Ew. Well, yeah, she was not expected to last the weekend, and she's still wrong.
Yeah, I mean, is this the...
She's falling apart.
She's, okay. Because her mom had filed this, right? This is her mom's lawsuit trying to get the burial stopped. And so they didn't embalm her for, like, what I'm curious about, I'm not even really sure if I want to know the answer to this, is they didn't embalm her for, like, a week. And so my thing about that, though, is, okay, so they let her, like, just sit for, like, a week. And then they embalmed her. So does the embalming then stop the decay, but it can't reverse it? In other words, it stops it at, like, you know, it stops
it. I would imagine you can't reverse it.
Well, no,
it
I'm not. It
stops it where it is.
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, does it halt the decay at that point?
I would imagine so, yes.
Or after a week has gone by, does the embalming only slow it? Like, is it too late? Is the decay then inevitable, and the embalming only slows it?
Apparently, in this case, that is so.
All right. Well, there you go. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, backstage at the Oscars, Dreamgirls sound mixing Oscar winner. We're getting to the big awards now.
Fantastic.
Michael Minkler had very little sympathy for the losing streak of fellow sound mixer Kevin O'Connell, who was nominated 19 times for an Oscar without even winning once.
You know, if somebody's willing to, like, honor us with something like this, we are so grateful. And I just wonder what Kevin's trying to do out there by trying to get an award from using sympathy. And
what?
You know, Kevin's an okay mixer, but enough's enough. About Kevin.
You think he should take the same out of consideration?
No. I just think maybe he should just take up another line of work.
Is there vicious infighting in the world of sound mixing?
Mm-hmm. There is.
Okay, ass. You know, whatever you say.
Good God Almighty.
All right.
This comes to us from Scotty J. James Blunt. Didn't quite run over the competition at the Grammys. Unfortunately, in the lead up to the Oscars, he did. The sensitive British singer was involved in a car crash in Los Angeles over the weekend.
James Blunt, you're beautiful.
Oh, I hate that guy.
Is that him?
Yeah.
All right, is he dead?
No.
Oh, man.
That's too bad.
No, he was involved in a car crash while leaving a pre-Oscar bash in which his car ran over the foot of a male bystander. Officer Martha Garcia confirmed that Blunt was in the car at the time of the hit, though she didn't disclose his role in the accident. It was taken at 3:30 in the morning Saturday. We can't say whether Blunt was driving or not.
All right. Let's see. We have some emails here. Let's see. Apparently this is from the very, very, like, the opening 10 minutes of the program. Apparently those things that cover silver serving platters are called domes, just in case anybody was still wondering. They are not. Rick, I was in Little League in a small southern Oregon town, and we were forced to sell grade F chocolate bars for shoddy prizes at the end of the season. See, this is universal. It was one of the most degrading experiences in my life, but I did learn a valuable lesson. It turned out our coach was a meth user, and once we turned in all of our hard-earned cash, he split town with it. It being a small town, we found he was back in town after being gone a few weeks on a meth spree. Imagine a bunch of angry fourth graders wreaking vengeance on a tweaker's SUV with baseball bats and small pocket knives at 2 a.m. This may be a larger city, but I have a feeling that if the Girl Scouts find the man who stole their cookie money, he could be in for a painful experience. Don't do drugs or steal. You will face a mighty reckoning at the hands of a small pack of children. It's true. Rick, about your inadvertently heard whispers over the telephone. Here's how you use it for comedic purposes. Talk smack about Art Alexakis with your microphone off while Sarah's interviewing him over the phone. Gold. Nah, I don't think we'll have the opportunity to do that anytime soon. Hey, Whitey, if you're going to attempt to use my people's words, please to be using them correctly. The word is chica. That's what I said. I said chica. I did not say chiga. C-H-I-G-A.
We would remember that.
Or chiga. Which sounds like an unpleasant combination of various slurs.
Chiga pest.
Gigabet. I'm not going to take that any. I'm not going to take that one step further. Gigabet. I don't even know what a gigabet would be, but it sounds both sexual and offensive.
Just the way you like it.
Chiga sounds like the second phrase of a second phase of a skin rash. He says, "I'm already sprouting chigas." Chiga sounds like maybe a thing that would burrow into your skin. All right, let's never talk about that again.
Yeah.
Jack, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, Jack. This is the call that Jack made.
That's just so bad.
I am Jack's failed attempt at a telephone call to the Rick Emerson Show. All right, that's two jokes. That's all you get. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Remember the crazy judge at Anna Nicole trial?
No.
On television?
Yes.
He may become part of the CBS family. Oh,
fantastic. Tell me he's going to replace Kenny Cora.
I
watched the news.
Terrific.
Attention, CBS. That would get people to watch that news program. You get rid of Katie Couric and hire that guy.
Apparently, a CBS executive named Michael Rosen has pitched a new job offer to him. He produces the network's Saturday early show. He'd like to talk to C. Lynn about a new show feature called Morning Justice.
Fantastic.
Awesome. The judge would, quote, resolve the ethical and legal questions of our viewers who send in the issues troubling them. The judge reportedly, I get Rosen's letter on Friday.
Excellent. Well, did you see an interview with that judge's wife?
Oh.
The judge himself won't come out and say this. I think he's smart enough to know that he ought to not be blowing his own horn at this point. But I saw an interview with Seedlin's wife where she said, and it was only like 5 seconds into the interview, she's like, well, people always say that my husband ought to be on television. People always say that he ought to have a TV show, which is, you know, and no one ever says that. That's what whenever somebody says that.
Yes.
That's a sure sign that no one really says that. You know what I mean? Well, people say that my Myron ought to be playing at Carnegie Hall. No one says that about your Myron. If you say that, that's proof that it's not the case. All right, let's do a couple more here, and then we'll take a break and come back with more news, and then Peter Carlin.
Now it's time for a clown watch.
Oh, this is, we've been waiting for this one. Here's your clown watch for Monday on the Rick Emerson Show. And this is from Bogota, so you know it's good.
Yeah, anything south of the border is always dangerous. Two clowns were shot to death at a circus. They were shot and killed by an unidentified gunman during their performance at a traveling circus in the eastern Colombian town of Calcuta.
Fantastic.
The gunman burst on the Cirque du Soleil de Calais Monday night and shot the clowns in front of the audience of 20 to 50 people, including many children. One of the clowns was killed instantly, and the second died the next day in the hospital. The killings had nothing to do with the show, I'm pretty sure.
Well, why would you just pick the clowns then?
I don't know. With an entrance fee of almost, oh, it was under U.S. 50 cents. Cirque du Soleil de Calais attracts mostly poor Colombians.
No, really?
The clowns came out to give their show, and then this guy came out and shot them. It was terrible.
Oh, it's muy terrible. That's fantastic. There's so much. I'm going to have you read that whole story again, line by line, from the top, because every line in there is gold. Let's listen. So, first of all, clowns shot.
Two clowns shot to death at the circus. Dateline Bogota. Two clowns were shot and killed by an unidentified gunman during their performance at a traveling circus in the eastern Colombian town of Calcuta. The gunman burst into the Cirque du Soleil de Calais Monday night and shot the clowns in front of the audience of 20 to 50 people, mostly children. One of the clowns was killed instantly, and the second died the next day in the hospital. The killings had nothing to do with the show, the sheriff reiterated.
That's a lie. That clearly is a lie. That makes no sense. If you were going to go kill some people, mm-hmm. You have to look pretty hard to find clowns. That's the kind of thing that, by definition, doesn't seem like it can be random.
Dead clown posse. With an entrance fee of under 50 cents.
Under 50 cents.
The Cirque du Soleil de Calais attracts mostly poor Colombians.
As opposed to all the really wealthy Colombians.
The clowns came out to give their show, and then this guy came out shooting them when audience members told local television it was
terrible. I don't know why it's so funny. I don't know why. But you know what? I gave the story to Tim this morning, and he burst into gales of laughter himself, so I know it's not just me. God damn. Imagine a Cirque du Soleil where the admission is 35 cents. It's like a guy just sitting on the ground and looking back at you. That's it. And then occasionally he swats a fly. That's, there you go. Hurrah. Buy some popcorn. Enjoy the show. I wish I had, like, the clown horn immediately followed by, like, a sound effect. Oh, that's fantastic. The shootings were not... Okay.
Part of the show.
Okay. Well, no, not part of the show. Does it say that the shootings weren't part of the show, or that the shootings were not prompted by the... In other words, that... Like, did they go looking for the clowns, or did the clowns just happen to be there, do you suppose?
The killings had nothing to do with the show.
Well, I suppose they weren't a scheduled part of the act, if that's what you mean. Fantastic.
Maybe this is the bargain matinee.
there was no
encore. Only cost a quarter.
No encore.
Two dead clowns with a person one.
Two dead clowns, no waiting. All right. Sarah's not laughing at all. Sarah's not joining into our mirth.
I think it's kind of sad that you have the existence of the clown and then you're shot.
In front of children. At a Cirque du Soleil that cost 35 cents
and
to get into.
And the was only 20 to 50. They had a hard time counting between 20 and 50. They must have been poor counters who didn't have much of an education. They couldn't tell if it was 20 or 50.
Well, that tells you what a crackerjack job the police in that part of the world do, too. 20 and 50. 50, okay, 20, 50 is 250% larger than 20.
Right.
The idea that the police, it doesn't even sound like the police were there. It sounds like the police
may have a broken clicker.
Probably still don't know about this.
Maybe it's like one of them's including the circus people and one of them isn't.
I don't know. Imagine that's your life. You're a clown in Bogota. Then a guy shoots you. The end. All right, there's your clown watch. Worst clown show ever. Imagine you, and seriously, that you pay your hard-earned 35 cents, which you've taken your family like a year and a half to save, and then they shoot the clowns right in front of you. I can't decide if that makes it worth your money or not. That is a one-of-a-kind show. Although maybe not in Colombia. What happened? Oh, they shot the clowns again. Yes, that happened when I go too. Here's Tim Riley. Let's do one more, then we'll break.
All right, well, listen to this.
God almighty.
The incredible ship Liberty is back in South Florida this morning after one of the passengers killed a man with his bare hands.
That's it. Now, is this the same killing with
the
bare hands?
It's the same one, but it's so good we have to do it twice. Police in Costa Rica, one of the Liberty's destinations, where it's just completed cruise, allowed the ship to leave early after an elderly veteran of the military killed an alleged robber, in which both Costa Rican police and the cruise line are calling self-defense. The passenger, who was not identified, is said to be in his 70s.
And said to demand that everyone stay off of his lawn right now. I'm sorry, I'm just getting all of this clown mail.
Passenger Sue Warren says she has her doubts about whether those involved in the botched mugging ever want to set sail again.
I really feel bad for the people, and I think they're going to have a hard time traveling again, like on a cruise.
The people who are dead are going to have a hard time traveling.
First thing, I put the broken neck. This email says, clown slayings equal great. Rick. Sorry. I'm going to make my way all the way through this email.
The elderly man put one 20-year-old suspect in a headlock and snapped his collarbone. He got the scene.
If only he'd been wearing face paint. Rick, about the clowns. This is hilarious. I just imagine the clowns coming out all happy and a gunman coming on stage shortly after. Most people probably thought it was part of the show until the clowns went down in a hail of gunfire. How often do you get to hear that phrase? Until the clowns went down in a hail of gunfire? Oh, I know we're terrible people for laughing, but really, I know I say this about many, many, many stories, but that's how I want to go. I want to go on stage dressed as a clown.
You want to go in a hail of gunfire?
As a clown in Bogota.
In a hail of gunfire.
Well, there are two openings.
Oh, my God.
It'll probably give you a percentage of what the house brings in.
Okay. We have to take a break. Back after this. We'll revisit the Ministry of Truth, and we'll talk to Peter Carlin from the Oregonian about whatever.
Nothing's going to top that clown story, though. Doesn't matter.
All right, you stay there. The Rick Emerson Show continues next. So I pull over to the side of the road. I heard, son, you know I'm stopping you for. Because I'm young and I'm black and my hat's real low. Do I look like a mind reader, sir? I don't know. Come on. The Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. Let's see. What are we... where did my email go here? Rick, normally when a severe injury happens in the circus, the word is to send in the clowns. When clowns are being shot, they just send in more clowns. Inquiring minds want to know. What else do we have here? Joke.
Okay, not like if I was Glenn Close singing it.
Glenn Close is hilarious.
It's Glenn Close from 1990 singing Send in the Clowns.
Is Send in the Clowns from a musical?
I don't know. Isn't it a Barbara song?
No. No, Stephen Sondheim wrote it, but I didn't know if he wrote it for a musical or if it's just because. Well, let's now admit that I don't really care. It's 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the... Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Oregonian TV critic, Peter Carlin. Hello, sir.
Hey, are you introducing me now with Hot Buttered by the song, or Popcorn by the band Hot Buttered?
I am indeed.
Yeah, sweet.
It's not really your permanent introduction. It's been a while since I've played it. This is our giving the listeners a chance to reassess a joke that they're about to make on the air. Music.
Okay. So and FYI, Send in the Clowns, I believe, comes from the musical The Music Man.
Is that... I think you're wrong about that.
Oh, yeah?
No, I don't know for sure, but I think
Peter,
you might...
Peter sounds a little crazy. I think you might be right.
I'm not... It seems like you're wrong about that, but I have to admit that I don't know. I don't really know the answer to that, Peter Carlin.
You just want to believe that I'm wrong.
The Music Man with Shirley Jones?
Well, I think it was produced lots of times.
Okay, look, there's no need to be snippy, Mr. New York, Mr. NYC. Can I just tell you this for a minute, though?
Yeah,
you go back and watch...
Sondheim, Send in the Clowns, The Music Man.
You watch the film of... the thing about having Google is it now makes anybody able to sound smart at anything. Now, granted, you did already know that. But I'll do this sometimes where I'll be talking to somebody on the phone, like some guest on the show, and I'll ask them a question, and it's just like a long enough lag that you can tell they're Googling the answer. Or whatever it is that you ask them. You know what I mean? And then they try to sound all smart.
But I don't need to Google to tell you that I saw Van Morrison do that very song at the Civic Auditorium. Like, now I hate to say it, but it was 20 years ago, and it was boss.
Really? It was boss?
It was super boss.
That's fantastic.
It rocked. Van Morrison can sell any song and make it, and not only make it work, make it sing, but make it art.
Let me read you the story that necessitated the playing of Send in the Clowns. Tim's fishing it out of the trash. This is,
well, that ain't no Van Morrison.
No, this is Glenn Close, I think.
Right there.
This is the clown story we had today.
Who is that? Is that Shirley Jones?
It's Glenn Close. Yeah. I was going to say that Shirley Jones, you go back and you watch the film of The Music Man, Shirley Jones is like white hot in that film.
Ooh.
So unbelievably gorgeous. You don't really think of the Partridge Family mom as being, you know, you think of her as being cute, but you watch that movie, she is just scorching.
Mm.
This Dateline Bogota, where all the good stories come from.
Yeah.
Two clowns were shot and killed by an unidentified gunman during their
That's not funny.
Yeah, I heard you laugh, you bastard. During their performance at a traveling circus in the eastern Colombia town of Cucuta, police said Wednesday, the gunman burst into the Cirque du Soleil de Cali Monday night and shot the clowns in front of an audience of 20 to 50 people, including many children. One of the clowns was killed instantly, and the second died the next day in the hospital.
Good God. What could possibly the motive have been?
With an entrance fee of under 50 cents U.S., Cirque du Soleil de Cali attracts mostly poor Colombians. The clowns, quote, the clowns came out to give their show, and then this guy came out shooting them, end quote. One audience member told television, it was bad. It's just so surreal. I mean, I was just saying earlier, I don't mean to mock the tragedy of others, but it happened far away to people I don't know. So the juxtaposition of images, though,
yeah.
The idea, and this listener nailed it correctly when he said that he nailed it exactly. When he said it's just the image you get in your head of the clowns coming out all happy and then immediately going down in a hail of gunfire.
Wow.
I mean, it's just so awful. And the fact that the police are apparently so inept that they don't know whether the crowd was 20 or 50. And this other guy says, Rick, do you realize the total haul for the circus producers was like $6?
Yeah, but that's there. So, you know, I think their economy works a little differently than ours.
And the circuses work a little differently than ours as well, apparently.
Well... you know, this is the sort of thing that ends up getting played on the internet when they explain why this dopey disc jockey in Portland just got fired.
You know what? The people
laughing about the dead clown.
You know what? I will stand by this being funny.
Yeah.
The killing, quote, the killings had nothing to do with the show the victims were performing at the time of the incident.
So reaching toward Anthony and Opie type of material.
I'm not paying clowns to have sex in St. Peter's Cathedral.
All
right. St. Patrick's Cathedral. I'm just saying, look, anything happy to... Alfred Hitchcock had this great thing where he said there's nothing scarier than a clown after midnight because it's the juxtaposition of the two worlds.
Yeah.
Really, clowns and violence are hilarious. Any sort of violence being done to a clown or a clown-type person is hilarious.
Did you ever see that movie? I can't remember if Bill Murray was in it.
Quick Change.
Quick Change, yeah.
Yeah.
Where they're dressed up as clowns robbing a bank in Midtown Manhattan.
Yes.
Bob Elliott, who plays the guard... when they come in with the guns, looks up to him and says, what kind of a clown are you anyway? And Bill Murray very coolly responds, the crying on the inside kind, I guess.
Totally.
Because he's holding a machine gun when he says it.
And things with clowns are hilarious.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, so, anyway. Let's see here. Oh, wait, listen to you. Ha-ha, Sherrod, you are, Peter Carlin. Send in the Clowns is a song by Stephen Sondheim from the 1973 musical A Little Night Music.
Damn.
You were bluffing just then.
Well, do I get some parting gifts?
No. Yes, you get scorn.
I got Sondheim, though.
You get this. You get an email that just says, Peter Carlin is an ass.
I get those every day, but get the line.
You and me both, my friend. Oh, God. All right, so there you go. So there's the clown.
Yours aren't signed, Mom.
Ding.
Thank you very much.
So there's your clown story there for you. No, clown humor is the best kind of humor there is.
Yeah.
Good God Almighty. Well, let's talk about some other... Well, let's talk about the Oscars.
Sure.
Because I'm going to pretend that I care for a second.
Hang on.
I don't know. It's just, is it true that they were the longest Oscars ever?
Nah, I don't think so.
Really?
Did somebody say they were?
Well, they were projected to be.
News
reports were saying that they were expected to be the longest Oscars ever.
Yeah, but then they lost the clown segment, so...
Yeah.
No, you know what? It was only like, what? It started at 5:30, and I believe it was over by 9:15 our time.
All right. I didn't watch it. Was because, and this is the point I've been making all day, which is that now, because of technology and science, just everything that's good is excerpted out by some kid and put on YouTube like 10 minutes later. I've heard the Al Gore thing. That Al Gore thing was actually really funny.
Mm-hmm.
The backstage announcement that gets cut off by the music and so forth. Boy, you know that thing of being played off by the orchestra, though, do you just hope one of these days that one, as much as I don't like celebrities and the Hollywood types, are you just hoping that one of these days one of those celebrities just goes down and just sets fire to the orchestra for trying to play them off the stage?
Or just starts shrieking, shut up, shut up!
Seriously, like, you know, I've worked my whole damn life for this. Just shut the hell up.
Well, isn't that what...
Julia Roberts did that.
Yeah.
She preemptively said, you're not going to get me off in 45 seconds.
Right.
But I would just love to see somebody go nuts as soon as the music starts and just start shrieking for the orchestra to pipe the hell down. As much as I don't want to watch celebrities blather on and on and on, I find that music just to be incredibly offensive. It just seemed, you know, I mean, I'm always hoping that somebody just tells the orchestra to stuff it.
Well, yeah, they do every so often, because didn't Julia Roberts and then, now I can't remember who, the African-American woman who won the year that Denzel won, too. You know who I'm talking about?
Halle Berry.
Didn't she, like, also tell them to stuff it
while
maybe. She was talking, going on?
I'm not sure. I do know this, that Music Man, this man says, was written by Rodgers and Hammerstein, not Stephen Sondheim.
All right already. So now you're proving that you can out-Google me.
I'm not even doing that. I'm just reading emails that other people have sent me.
Oh, really? That's like the 37th error that I've made in the last 18 hours.
I'm just, let's see.
Is someone having a rough day?
Well, did I mention that I'm a little sick? I'm homesick, but and yet I still speak to you on the phone.
Can I just tell you this?
And I'm called to account for these small errors in my off-the-cuff remarks, but go ahead.
Here's the other kind of email I get.
Yeah.
Rick, you're missing the best part of the clown story, says this emailer named Michael. One of the clowns died instantly. Presumably that's not the best part. He says, the other clown died the next day. I can't imagine that in Bogota they cleaned him up right away. Think of the poor sap dressed as a clown, soaked in his own blood in a hospital bed in Bogota. Worst way to die ever. That really is the worst way to die.
And I could think of about 100 worse ways to die.
I suppose if he was covered in spiders at
what
the same time.
What if he loved being a clown? That might be the best way. You know, they say he went with his really big boots on.
He died with his big, huge, floppy clown shoes on.
Right.
See, this is funny. See what I'm saying? Clowns. And then something violent, funny. It's like Tim and I have this endless fixation on mascots and people in mascot costumes, especially when horrible things are being done to them. And every so often we will do an entire show, or an hour at least, where people call up with stories about violence being done to, like, mascots.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and there'll be some guy who talks about being dressed up as, you know, whatever, like an aardvark for some sports team, and, like, some kids will like, push him down a hill, you know, or just... create a story about, or I think Tim was the one who told the story about being dressed as a mascot and just being kicked in the groin repeatedly by small children at some sort of party that he was the mascot at. You know, those are the kind of stories that make us laugh. Or those poor bastards that have to dress up in giant foam, like dollar bill costumes in front of the, in sort of the payday advance place.
Well, remember when there was that race, I think it was on the side of a baseball game a few years ago, with the mascot, like, doing a sprint. And one of them got clotheslined by, like, with a baseball bat by one of the players.
No, I don't, but it's genius. It makes me smile just to think about it.
Yeah, and he went down like a sack of bricks. And the poor baseball player, I mean, not poor baseball player, the dumb baseball player ended up getting, like, booted out of the league for, you know, suspended for some period of time.
Oh, did he intentionally do it?
Oh, totally. He meant to. He thought, like, ha-ha, but, you know. I think his greenies weren't agreeing with him at that moment.
Oh, good Lord.
Bad scene.
All right, let's see here. Well, let's, okay. Well, is there anything about the Oscars of note? Is there really any reason to be talking? Did anything interesting or unexpected happen?
Yeah, well, the fact is that they program, like, the first hour, maybe even almost 2 hours, with nothing but, like, technical and low-bore, like, you know, animated foreign documentary.
I thought that they were going to be doing all of that stuff on the internet or whatever from now on.
No,
to try to get people to watch.
They did it all in prime time, baby. It got close to midnight before they started giving away anything like an important act, you know, an important award on the East Coast. I mean, the East Coast, where, like, I believe the majority of the country watches.
Why do they do that? They got to know that nobody cares.
Well, they began the thing. They had this sort of revolutionary thing where they began the show with this whole idea that it's all about you. You know, it's like it's bottom up. You know, it's like the people who make the movies are the most important thing, and so no ha-ha montage of Ellen DeGeneres running around through the sets of all the movies.
Right.
You know, they did it was just like stark interviews with the nominees. Most of them were like not famous faces talking about being nominated, and a lot of it was actually very amusing and interesting. And so I think they just came with this idea that, you know what, it's all about the industry. We don't care about the show aspect of the awards. And it was like this game of chicken. It was like, how long can we talk about stuff that only we care about before everyone turns the show off?
Right.
And the fact is, we don't care. And I sort of, and I was, and especially after all that absurd red carpet coverage, that was wild and sort of, it was sort of fun to watch on a conceptual level. It was like, it was the most thrilling thing I've seen in a long time.
That there was just, that it, they were just, I don't know, that they just didn't care.
I was scintillated at the same time.
This email says, can you ask Peter Carlin why in the name of God they're still using Bruce Valanche as a writer? Every year they complain about the dwindling ratings in a lame show, yet this no-talent ass clown gets employed by the hideous award show every year. So... let's see.
Well, viewer, I don't know. Listener, I mean.
Okay.
I think they just, he slept with the right people.
Let's take one call here. This is Mark here on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Mark.
Oh, good God.
The love of sweet Jesus. All right, fine. That's it. We're done. All right. Well, there you go.
So, I totally disagree.
Well, there you go. So, you know, you called up maybe feeling under the weather. A little clown news, a little Oscar talk. You're feeling right as rain.
That's right.
See, so there you go. So never say Rick Emerson didn't make you smile, my friend.
The photo, or I'm going to say the story has a happy ending. But here's something that's interesting, though. Do you have time for one more thing?
Yes, I do.
Well, there's this guy who's a publicist in L.A. who's under the impression that I work not only as a TV critic, columnist, but also as a clipping service for the celebrities of whom I write. So he's been imploring me to send him copies of a story, like physical clipped-out copies of the
really?
Story.
Really? See, under the impression...
Put them in the mail.
Under the impression you're an intern?
Apparently so. So I don't know exactly. I've been ignoring him, but I feel like I need to write back something now. But should it be really mean and sarcastic, or
yes.
Should it just be, you know? But what if I need him at some later point in my career?
Tell him you're going to have him. Yeah, just tell him you're going to have him run out of the industry. Tell him you're going to break him. Tell him you're going to ruin him both personally and professionally, and you're going to spend the rest of your life devoted to ruining the rest of his if he contacts you ever again.
Okay, I'll consider it done.
Hey, by the way, it would seem that this is an epidemic in Calcutta. A BBC report of this story notes that at the same time last year, Pepe, a children's favorite clown, was gunned down by the recently fired chief of police.
But why does the chief of police want to kill a clown?
I don't know. Maybe Colombian clowns are different than our homegrown variety. Maybe our domestic clowns are different. Maybe clowns are something to be feared there. All right, I think Sarah's telling me that we have to break or she's going to gun
right.
me down. And I'm going to go down in a hail of gunfire. All right, get better, my friend.
Talk to you later.
Peter Carlin, read him in print in the Oregonian online at OregonLive.com. Back after this. Stay there. Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Make a note, we are back tomorrow at 11 a.m. This is, of course, the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of our program. Like us next, Don and Mike at 7. Let's see here, what have I got? We got Dan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Dan, hello. Dan.
This has definitely happened too much today.
The love of sweet God Almighty. All right. Let's see. Where the hell is my...
James
no.
Is dead.
Damn it.
Postman is a person in your neighborhood.
It's, hello, mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Well, I got to get this out of the way real quick. You got Rube, Lisa, Peter Kronk. You got the four people you pimped, but you did not get to the number one fetish. You did not get to the worst story ever recap.
Oh, that's true.
Or your random thoughts from Friday.
No, that's true. Uh-oh. That's true. Yeah, no, I had a bunch of crap that I meant to get to and that I didn't. I did get I even got to Carlin, which is unusual, because that guy is like a 50% average with him sometimes, so, all right.
Well, you know, and that clown story is the greatest story
ever. It's fantastic. I mean, the thing is, if you don't know why it's funny, it can't be explained. It just is. One either gets the story or one does not.
Well, they're French, that's why.
Are they French?
Well, Cirque du Soleil.
Were they French clowns in Bogota? Like an American Werewolf in London? It's a French clown in Bogota? Oh, my God.
I just took her blue. I just keep picturing Anna Nicole in that clown makeup.
Well, now it's even funnier because in my head, the clowns have little berets. The clowns have little berets and they're cheese-eating bastards. Oh, that's genius.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Cody and I were talking while I was on, before you picked me up, and he said, you know, maybe now we're going to have to add Susan and her respect to our trip to Vegas. That way our kids can all get together and conspire to kill us.
No, seriously. I mean, there's enough. I don't know that Susan's kid is actually unstable. Although when you're a teenager, you are sort of just unstable as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it is your given stage. So.
And to answer you from earlier, yes, the song Teenager, My Chemical Romance, it is a theme song around my house.
Yeah, really. No, every time I hear that, I'm like, yeah. No,
I must be doing something, right? Because the 8-year-old boy that's in Campfire, that is my son.
Well, you know, that's what I'm saying. So that's a 50% average there. If you were the baseball, you'd be a Hall of Famer.
And the 4-year-old is uncertain yet. So.
Too soon to tell.
Too soon.
We'll have to get back. All right, thank you, my friend.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, there you go. Oh, I got this great Britney news. Well, we'll have to do it tomorrow.
Oh, that was a guarantee.
I'm just reading it right here. All right.
Did we ever get to her talking about the people she wanted to kill?
Yeah, but I've got more detail on that now.
Okay.
All right. Like us next, Don and Mike at 7. We want to thank CNN radio correspondents Jim Roop, Lisa Goddard. We want to thank Clyde Lewis tonight at Dante's. He'll be there at 8 p.m. And, of course, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. Rick Emerson show produced today and every day with the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon playing M970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley. Scotty J is our PA. And the gatekeeper is Dave Zinn. As always, my friend, thank you for listening. Don't let the best wish granted on Be Safe. See you all tomorrow. Bye.